So little time, so much to share. Reading from last night's program handed out at the Living Alternatives Pregnancy Resource Center banquet, printed was 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Wow, what a fantastic banquet. As always, the director, Greta Henry, was fantastic. A great evening of fellowship, seeing many Great News Radio listeners and friends that support this excellent ministry. Pam Tebow was fantastic. Four-part summary of her message. Master, that's Jesus. We follow and serve him. The manual's God's word. It equips us for every good work. I think the third point was money. We have resources to further God's kingdom. And the mission, we've been created to do good works. And Living Alternatives Pregnancy Resource Center is a great work that's worthy of our support. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's September 26, 2012. Here's a quick transition, Jason. There's a lot to share, but I want to alert our listeners. This Saturday, the Singing Men of GNN will be going to the Taylorville prison to put on a presentation. Herb Ketchum, one of our singing men who works in the prisons, worked with the warden and the prison systems to allow the singing men to present. So Monday night, we had this great rehearsal where we anticipate God using all the singing men to bring joy and hope and insight and hopefully the love of Jesus to these inmates. This is an all-men's prison in Taylorville. And so I think there's close to a couple hundred or 300 signed up that are going to be a part of our presentation. So,
oh, wow. They have to sign up ahead of time?
Well, yeah, I think so. The inmates to be out of their cells or however it works. It's I think we're going to be there from like 6:30 to 8:30
or so. We do the same thing with our kids.
Yeah. So I alert our listeners of that fact just to be praying up how God would use the singing men of GNN. We're very excited about this opportunity and privilege. Also, sad news for everyone. Those of you that want to watch the hummingbirds, they're just about all out of the area. I've only seen a couple sightings. The last of them that are still around are filling up for the winter so that they can migrate to the south. So there are fewer and fewer hummingbird sightings. And those of you that went to our website, greatnewsradio.org, a couple weeks back, I posted my hummingbird feeder where there's like 20 plus hummingbirds flying around. And then I even hold it and you see a couple hummingbirds land on the feeder. So stop by greatnewsradio.org. I think it's about three or four postings ago, so you might have to scroll back, but you'll see a little YouTube video of my multiple hummingbird sightings at my feeder. But most of them have already headed south and will return that first week in May. So sometime in April, I'll be telling you to get your hummingbird feeders out. That's April of 2013. And those of you that have your hose still connected to the outside spigot, don't do what I did a few years ago and leave it connected because it can sometimes freeze up during the winter time. So if you're not going to be watering your lawn in the coming days, bring those hoses in. Don't leave them connected to the spigot. And finally, my mom, I think she thinks I'm a party animal or something. She calls me at 10:30 the other night, and we have like this two-hour talk where it's like 12:30-something, amen, 12:30-something a.m., and it's like, Mom, you know, I got to sleep. You know, there's a morning program I got to do. So anyways, it was a delight to get in touch with my mom and get caught up and praise God for all the different ways he's at work in our life. So it's always fun to share testimonies with family, with loved ones, with friends and neighbors. And that's one of the things this radio ministry is all about, is proclaiming the good news message of Jesus through various people's testimonies, through scripture reading, through host teaching on different topics, the biblical narrative being divided and shared. And so for purposes of today, Jason, I have another verse for you. And it's in John chapter 15. And you and I on Sunday just briefly talked about it. I said you could literally camp out in John chapter like 14, 15, 16 for weeks. I love those three chapters. I love chapter 14. And then I thought, I love chapter 15. And then chapter 16 is great. But chapter 15 of John, beginning at verse 16, I love this. And I know I'm just throwing this one at you, but it's so good. And I think it can touch all of our lives if we'll let it. It begins by saying, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other." wow, there's just so much in there. If you look at just breaking it down sentence by sentence or word by word, that we've been chosen, that we've been appointed, that we're to bear fruit, not just any kind of fruit, fruit that will last. Then how about this one? I know some people may take this out of context, but I want to hear your thoughts on this passage that I'm just kind of throwing at you. But then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. What does that mean? And then, this is my command. He finishes this passage off by then saying, love each other. Yeah. Isn't this a great passage?
It's pretty interesting, and it's pretty deep in terms, theologically, in terms of what's happening there. Right away, it makes me think of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, where it says, before all things, you know, he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. And so, right away, in terms of the verse that you were reading, I mean, God chose us. But what did he choose us to do? Well, number one, he chose us before creation. So before those first words were uttered in Genesis, God had already chosen you. He'd already thought about you. And I mean, right there and then, you could just hit the pause button, sit back, and just spend a long time thinking about that.
Yeah.
That God knows who you are before all things. God was already thinking about you. He was already thinking about how he was going to weave this thing called time and life together, and where he was going to put you in it, and all the people he was going to then connect to you.
And we could just even camp out just at this concept that we've been chosen. If you're struggling today, if you're maybe depressed or feeling alone or insecure, God, Almighty God, chose you. That's one of my defaults. Whenever I maybe am perplexed or frustrated or confused, it doesn't happen that often, thank you, God. And I think partly because my default is that though I sin and continue to sin, when he drew me to himself years ago, that point of commitment, that point of being born again, that point of asking Jesus Christ into my life and accepting him as my Lord and Savior, that point where I believe I secured for myself, not because of my own works, not because of anything I did, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because I recognized him as my Savior and Lord, accepted him into my heart, knew by his finished work on my behalf, I was going to have a relationship with God because of Jesus. I was secured for all eternity. Well, I think about this many times, but my default mechanism, if you will, is Jesus knew at that point any sin that I would ever commit from that point forward, and yet he still drew me to the Father that very day. And I just marvel at that, because when I blow it, when I fall short, it's like none of that is a surprise to Jesus or God. They knew about it at that point when they drew me to themselves. And so I'm very secure, really, in my faith. When I blow it, hey, he wouldn't have drawn me to himself at that point because he knew all about me. He knew what I would do in the future. And so I'm very confident and comfortable. But here's another point, or here's another truth in a passage, that he chose us. And it's right. Just like, ah, oh, it's the best.
Well, you know, and I think that when we look at the Ephesians passages, what really frames it for us is that before all creation of the world, he chose us. But what did he choose us for? Did he choose us to be little robots to do the things that he wants us to do? Did he choose us because he had a blank spot, you know, in the year 2012 and he needed Mark Burns to do something there? Or did he choose you for something else? And what's interesting is this passage says that he chose us to be holy and blameless in his sight. And a lot of us believe our life is about being happy. And I'm not going to take away that we should have joy, and I'm not going to take away that we should have all the things that we have, the happiness that we have as we follow Jesus, but sometimes we elevate our happiness above our holiness. And we think that, boy, you know, I deserve to be happy. And you don't deserve to be happy. You need to be holy.
Yeah.
Because when you become holy, when you stand near the holiness of God, when you lean more and more into God, you can't help but then reflect his glory and his holiness as you're seeking after him. And then the gift that comes through being near his holiness, being holy and blameless in his sight, is peace, is joy, is a degree of happiness. But I run into people all the time and they're like, I'm just not happy. And I'm like, well, join the crowd. Like, a lot of us aren't happy, but it's not, if you're seeking after happiness, it's like a dog chasing his tail. At some point, you're going to get tired and lay down because it just doesn't work. You're not seeking after happiness. In fact, I think that most people who seek after just happiness in itself actually find themselves in a hollow kind of happiness that we would deem sin.
Yeah. Yeah. And happiness is so fleeting, where joy in the Lord is eternal.
Right. Well, and you know, it's those people that I meet. My wife's grandmother is this way. Whenever you talk to her, you say, Grandmother, how are you doing? She goes, I'm peaceful. And no matter what is happening that day, she says, I'm peaceful. And she means it because she's placed all her chips on God. She's placed everything she has in God's corner, and she leans into God with her whole heart, her whole soul, her whole mind, and she loves the people around her like Jesus wants to love them. And therefore, I've seen her in the worst of circumstances, and she's peaceful. Because she has a peace in the storm because God has given her that. And it's fascinating because, I think we're a culture that we throw the word happy around as though it's some sort of gift that we should have as we follow Jesus. And you know, when I look at Jesus, the most perfect person to ever step foot on the earth, sinless, his life wasn't always happy.
Yeah.
There was persecution. There was all kinds of things. He was hungry. He was tired. There's all kinds of things. But it never, any of those instances, if you read the Gospels, never affected Jesus' holiness. Even on the cross, let's be honest, if I was on a cross, if Mark was on a cross, I mean, let's just think about it use all your faculties to think about this. If you were on a cross, you would not be concerned about offering paradise to the guy to your right. And yet Jesus on the cross is still near the holiness of God, is still seeking after the holiness of God and says, you will be with me in paradise.
And then he looks down at John and says, John, here's Mary, you know, take care of her. Here he's showing care and compassion and concern for his mother, his earthly mother. And it's just like, that's that sacrificial love that Jesus models for all of us to try to learn to be like, to express in various ways to other people. But and then this one, you did not choose me, but I chose you. You know, he chose us, and then he appointed us to go and bear fruit. But what kind of fruit? Fruit that will last.
Yeah. Yeah, that's important. I always think about in the beginning of chapter, I think it's chapter 2 in the beginning of the Gospel of Luke. And it's John the Baptist, and John the Baptist comes, it's the beginning of chapter 3, actually. And John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? And then he says to them, produce fruit in keeping with repentance.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to produce, and then they say to him, oh my gosh, John, he must be like the Messiah. And he says, no, I'm not, but the axe is already at the root, meaning it's coming. He's coming. Something big is on the horizon. But John says to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And we talked about it a couple weeks ago when we talked about the prayer gathering at Meadowbrook Park with Susie Rahm. This idea of repentance. You know, repentance is this course correction saying, look, I've moved away from the holiness of God and I need to move back into the holiness of God. And that's another thing that I think that we don't talk about. Look, just scan the dial of your faith life. What are the things you probably don't talk about the most? With you and with the people that you're in community with. You don't talk about repentance, I bet, enough. And you don't talk about sin. I mean, how many of your Christian friends, when they come to you, they go, hey, what are you struggling with? I mean, what's the big sin that's really chasing you? I mean, people get big like eyes like plates because they don't want to talk about that. They go, oh, my gosh, sin? You know, I mean, you know, you have to get out the paddles and jumpstart them back into life again. But you know what? We need to talk about those things because sin is the thing that creates division between us and God. Sin is the thing that creates space between us and God. And that creates a gap between us and the holiness of God, us being able to stand near the holiness of God. So sin robs us of being near the holiness of God. And that's why John the Baptist says, look, you want to bear fruit? Well, you're going to have to be repenting because you live in a fallen world. I mean, this is John saying this pre the Holy Spirit even speaking, Romans 3:23 to Paul, saying, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. John the Baptist already knew that. John's going, look, you need to bear fruit in keeping with repentance, meaning you can't bear good fruit unless you're consistently repenting because you live in a fallen world. And we need to do that. And repentance, by the way, I just want to clarify for people because this always gets me tweaked a little bit. Repentance is not I'm sorry, and repentance is not I'm sorry I got caught. Repentance is I want to change the entire direction of where I'm going because what I'm doing right now is taking me away from standing near Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have that orientation because if not, sin naturally wants us to divide us from God. Sin naturally wants to steer us towards hiding away. Anybody I've ever known who's living and struggling with some sort of sin always is trying to fracture themselves from their community, is always trying to hide away, is less accessible. And we need to battle that. You know, Matthew 18, the famous Matthew 18 passage that everybody who's listening probably knows. You know, if your brother who sins against you, go to him. Well, the Greek word there is hupago, and hupago means to go quickly and quietly. You know what it means? It means as fast as you possibly can, get there. Not wait a day, not try and fit it into your calendar. As fast as you can, get there.
And I like where you said, and do it privately. Don't do it in front of everyone.
Yeah, initially. It's not Facebook. It's not, oh, man, I'm so sorry I talked about your sin to you. I mean, that's not what we do. It's not any of that. You go to the person. I don't care what modern convenience you have, text messaging or cell phone or whatever. Go to them. Look in their eyes, because part of killing sin is looking at sin and saying, I got your number, buddy. I got your number. And I'm going to pray with my friend right now, and I'm going to stand ground with my friend, and that's just the way it's going to be. But you go to your friend, and then it says in that passage, if that doesn't work, you get a couple other people. You know why? Because you get a couple other people who are standing near the holiness of God, some more holy people, and they come around and bring the holy, I don't like a brigade against it. And then it says there, if it doesn't work, take them to the church. Well, you know what? That's like taking out the big army. But we got to do that because we want to bear fruit. And why do we want to bear fruit? Because God chose us. I mean, for all the things he could do, he chose you and he chose me. And how amazing is the fact that he did that?
We'll talk a little about the fruit, because many of us know the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. But this is like fruit that will last. So I was thinking in terms of the gospel message, the fruit, that eternal fruit, that born-again experience, introducing them to Jesus. That's, in my mind, that's fruit that's ultimately going to last, is those people that come to know Christ. But is there something else mentioned here?
I don't think it's divided from the fruit that we see in Galatians chapter 5. You know, it says, bear the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, I don't think it's divided between that, because if we look at 2 Timothy 4:22, which is one of my favorite passages, and it talks about how you deal with...
For the day.
For the day.
Yeah.
No, it actually is one, it's one that I refer to a lot. But chapter 4 and verse 2 says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct and rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. So when you come across somebody who doesn't know the Word of God, or you come across somebody who's maligned the Word of God, or you come across somebody who just doesn't, they just don't understand. Maybe they've got a nugget of the Word of God, but they just don't understand what to do with it. They've heard the gospel, but they don't understand what it really means. You know, I had a friend of mine who was a missionary over in Africa, and he said that that was a huge problem over in Africa, because people would hear the gospel, they'd be transformed by the gospel, but they never really got any kind of teaching or somebody to walk with them. So they'd go out, and they said a year later, you'd come across this person again, and the gospel that they heard and the gospel they were preaching were two different things, because they didn't have anybody to walk with them. And so I think when we're pouring into people, it'll look like Galatians 5. We'll be pouring in patience and peace and kindness and joy, self-control. Some of the greatest lessons I've learned from people around me is self-control, because I think self-control bears great fruit. I know a lot of people who they get an idea in their head, and you know it's a God idea because, you know, it's just one of those left-field kind of ideas. But then they don't think, they don't put any intention behind it. They just try and do it, and it runs amok. And I think that self-control, people have taught me, is how you take a God idea and then do it as like God would do it. You lay it out with intention and with love, with self-control, with instruction, so that it can honor God. Not just be, you know, we get a hold of it, we go, I got a great idea, and we fumble our way to,
Or we rush it and we step out of God's will because of the way we're advancing it. And God's like, wait a minute, take your time, pray this up some more, get others involved. It's not all about you. Yeah. Hey, we only have like a minute or two. And what about this verse in the passage? Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Does that mean he's going to give me anything I ask in his name?
Well, you know, my interpretation of that passage is, it's interesting that God would say that, because some of us would read that and we would go, oh, it's the genie in the bottle, thank goodness. And they'd rub their Bible and go, I want a new car. I think that it's when you're in the holiness of God, when you're near the holiness of God, you're in the will of God, you're bearing fruit in keeping with repentance, the things you ask for look a lot like the things that God wants to give you.
Right, yep, yep.
You know, but some people read that and they go like, I get anything I want. And I've had people do that. I mean, I've been in prayer meetings where somebody goes, can you pray for me because I need a new car? And I'm like, because the one you bought last year isn't working, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, but when you're in the will of God, you do things that God wants. You think things that God thinks. You love like God loves. You forgive like God forgives. It becomes natural.
Yep, yep.
You know, so it's almost like God puts that in there, and it almost, I think it tests our humanity, because I think when we, I don't think it's God testing our humanity, but I think when we read it, our humanity immediately goes, right, I get whatever I want. And when you're in the will of God and you're near the holiness of God, you naturally do what God wants.
Right, right. And then he closes out, love each other. This is my command. Love each other.
Yeah, and we could talk. I just did a teaching on this for a study thing for our church and went through that, you know, as love an action or as love a feeling, what is love? I mean, that part is just loaded. So maybe on another show we could talk just all about love and what love is, and we could have kind of like a kumbaya love thing here.
Lots of love. Well, that book that I just finished a few weeks ago, and the author's not available for interview. He's the president of Wheaton College. The book is entitled Loving the Way Jesus Loves. I just sent my mom actually a copy of this, and we talked about it on Monday night, but it's just a fantastic book on how Jesus perfectly loved in all circumstances, to the Pharisees, to the woman at the well, to his disciples, how he was perfect love manifested. He's Almighty God, yet as man, he loved perfectly in each and every circumstance, in every situation. And then they go through that 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, love is long-suffering, all those ways that Jesus perfectly modeled it. And how the disciples, he gives lots of different examples on how we fall short and we don't love the way God would desire us to love. But the book's called Loving the Way Jesus Loves by Phil Rankin. I've given you a copy. Maybe somewhere down the road we'll discuss this book because I just think it's so great. Well, everyone, we're out of time, which doesn't mean we're really out of time because we could just keep talking for hours. Yeah. But SR News won't wait. And Jason, can I have you back on? Can I have you back in on Friday?
Sure.
I've been loving this, having you on Wednesday and Friday. We have Joey Kroll tomorrow morning to share on various devotional thoughts and things that the Lord's teaching him. So tune in again tomorrow. Tune in again on Friday. Tune in all day long and all night long. I'm sure God will use our radio broadcast to bless and encourage you and fortify you in your faith journey. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night. Oh, and also, Jason, if people tune in on Friday, I want to spend a portion of our program talking about Bill Allison, because I think we're going to have him on the air next week, and he's coming to the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. This is going to be a great event. Great News Radio is helping host and put this all together. We're excited to help learn how to make Jesus' vision and mission our vision and mission. It's going to be a phenomenal, fantastic seminar. It'll be held from 8:30 to 12:30. There'll be time for lunch. Lunch is included in this gathering. And then there'll be a Q&A, question and answer with Bill Allison from 1 to 2. So if you can be a part of that, put it on your schedule. It's $20. Call the station for more information, 217-367-7777. That's 217-367-7777. Have a great day, everyone.